I'm going to continue sharing a word that the Lord gave me for us a few weeks ago. And just quickly want to just recap and read us this one verse. I have my phone. If you guys can just show us the slides. John 7:37. This word that the Lord laid on my heart started with a vision that Eugene had. And for those of us who missed that service, he on Wednesday morning at intercession had a vision. And he saw this ice cube, a massive ice cube, right in the middle of a very dry place, like a desert, a wilderness, a place that was without life. Even though there was life, there was very little life. So we know a desert does have life, but you have to look for that life, don't you? You have to search for it. You might find a rattlesnake or a scorpion somewhere. So there is life, but it's very, very little life. But that the life of the desert was actually found within this ice cube. But the problem was that this ice cube was rock solid, and it needed to melt so that the water could flow to the areas that it was needed. And felt that was a word that the Lord had for our hearts as individuals, but also for us as a church. That he has placed us in areas where there is need, where it is dry, where there are things happening around us, and where God wants us to just open up our hearts and our lives and allow him to come and melt us. So the life that he has placed inside of us, and we spoke about that old Cremora ad where this guy's looking for his Cremora. He's looking for it in the fridge, and he's getting all frustrated and irritated because he can't find this thing that so often our lives is like that. We look for the life, but we look for it in the wrong places. We might look for it in an experience. We might look for it in a place, geographical place. We might look for it in a relationship or in our job circumstances changing. But it's not in any of those things. It is actually on the inside that God has given us everything that we need. And so we looked at the scripture, John 7:37. And I just want to read this for us again. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And reading that verse with all the words about thirsting in there has made me very thirsty. So just hang on. There we go, that's better. And we said that this is an interesting time for Jesus to come and speak to his people. He's in the temple. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a massive feast, a feast of great excitement, a feast of great momentum. There are flags and color everywhere. People are camping outside and they're coming to the temple. And the last day of this incredible feast, the people are moving towards the temple and the priests come. And they have gone down to the river Siloam, and they come with water that they carry in a basin. And they pour this water out upon the altar, and they remind themselves of the time when God provided water for them when they were in the desert. They were thirsty, and God said to Moses, Moses, hit the rock, and the water flowed out of it. And so they were busy celebrating, and they were thinking back to a time when God provided for them when they needed the water. So it is an amazing time. It is an incredible festival. It's filled with excitement. They're having an awesome time. And in the midst of this incredible time, this incredible religious activity taking place, there comes Jesus. And it says that Jesus stands and he cries out. So it is clear that Jesus tries to get their attention, isn't it? There's activity, there's noise, and he has to shout above the noise. He stands in such a way and in such a place that they can see him, and then he cries out to them as they're busy reciting a verse that says that for with joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. That was the verse from Isaiah that the people would be reciting as the priests would be performing this ritual, pouring the water out upon the altar and thanking God for what he has done. And in the midst of that, Jesus stands up and Jesus shouts out and says to them, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And I find that so fascinating, how Jesus needs to come in the midst of a very, very spiritual looking people. Jesus needs to come and needs to stand and needs to cry out to them and says to them, whoa, just stop for a minute. What you are really longing for is in front of your very eyes. It needs to stop them, get their attention, and bring their attention back from their religious activity and focus it not on the activity, but on the one of whom the activity was always just a pale reflection. It needs to come and it needs to draw their attention away from the stuff that they are doing again. And says the water flowing from the rock was always supposed to just be a sign for you that I want to be that water for you. I want to be the one that fulfills your every need. And I found that to be true in my life so often that I can be busy celebrating. I can be busy doing the incredible things that speak to me of my spirituality. This was an important feast to the Jews. In actual fact, John says that great day of the feast, it was a beautiful feast. Beautiful feast. It seems to me that in spite of the beauty of that feast, they could have had that feast and they could have missed Jesus in the midst of it all. And Jesus comes in and he says to them, stop. The water that you're looking for is to be found in me. Drink from me. And then out of drinking from me, out of your heart will flow enough also for the people around you. So it's not just about what you can get from me, but it's also about what I want you to mean to the people around you. And a religious system can't do that for you. A religious system gives you just enough for that moment, maybe to forget about the pain, forget about the offenses, forget about the stuff, just for a brief moment. And then you need to do another activity. Then you need to sing louder and do more. But deep down in your heart, you're still thirsty. Deep down in your heart, there's still just this knowledge that something is missing. And that something is that intimate connection that only Jesus can give. And last year, I was in a time in my life where I was having to pray some very honest prayers with God around God's purpose for my life. God, you have called me to do certain things, and I've always thought that that call was going to manifest in a specific way. And then I was confronted with this wall, this thing that I just couldn't get right. I know God had laid it on my heart. I know God had called me to do it, but I just couldn't get this thing right. Just couldn't. Tried. And it was something so important to me that I felt that because of this failure in this area of my life, that I was actually busy disqualifying myself from my life and my calling as someone that God has called to minister His word. And so for me, it was a time that I had to go and I had to really be honest with God about a lot of stuff in my heart. And we took some time off and went to Namibia, and it was a wonderful time. And I went there and I really gave God this open book, and I said, God, you've always spoken to me through my journaling. I've got stacks of journals at home that I've kept journals since 1994 faithfully. And I've been reading through that, and I bought a new one, and I had this expectation that God was going to speak to me again. Because I needed word from Him. I needed something concrete. I needed some direction from Him. In other words, I needed Him to show me what I needed to do. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. But you've tried a lot of stuff, and you know God has called you and God is speaking to you, but you're missing the key. It seems that what you're doing just isn't simply, it's just not working. And so you look for that thing that God must show you that you need to do. And so that was my expectation with which I went to Namibia and into those few weeks. God, you need to show me now, do I stay in ministry or don't I? What do I do? How do I fix this? And then you know what God does. He doesn't speak to me about any of those things at all. Doesn't it frustrate you sometimes about God? Don't you sometimes like, God, how difficult can this be? I mean, you know my problem. You know what I need to do, so just please show me what to do and I will do it. The only thing that God spoke into my heart that entire 3 weeks was just this one thing Jesus told the people. He told them a story about the birds of the air. And he said to them that not one of those swallows falls to the ground that Father God does not know about. And he ends that story and he says, you are worth more than many swallows. And that was the only thing that he told me. In the midst of my crisis, in the midst of the challenge that I had, the thing that I needed God to show me what to do, God came and he didn't speak to me about what I needed to do, but he spoke to me about my worth. He spoke to me about my relationship with him. You know how pastors are. We sometimes, the last 2 years, what God says to us, and I was still sort of thinking, God, you know, there must be more, but I'm keeping this in my heart. And so I went to Pretoria. I had to bring a message there. And I was outside praying, walking up and down, and this one girl came to me and she said, Heinrich, I feel the Lord has this word for you, but I'm hesitant to bring this word. And I said, please, just, I would want you to be obedient to God. Don't mess around. If God has given you a word, then give it to me. And she says, I had this vision of you, and I was going to talk about the love of God that evening. And she says, I had this vision of you, and I saw you sitting with this flower, and you had the petals in your hand, and you take one, and you would say, he loves me. You take another one, he loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. And I just sensed in my heart, and the Lord says to you that you know his love, but you're not fully convinced that he loves you. Now, that's a tough message to receive just before you're about to preach on love. You know, and so it sort of threw me a little bit, and I was standing there on the stage, and I'm speaking to the people, and then as I'm speaking, as if the Lord is, it was weird, I'm having this conversation like I'm having with you now, a monologue, right? You're not talking back to me, but I'm having this conversation, and at the same time, the Lord is having this other conversation with me, and he just says to me over and over again, I love you. I love you. It's not based upon what you do. And it came and it settled something in my heart, and it brought me to that place where I realized I was thirsting, but I was not drinking from him. It was a shock. I grew up in church. I know Jesus very, very well. But I realized that God brought me to a place of thirsting. He brought me to a place of failure in my life because there was another dimension of his love that I needed to experience. There was something in my life that was basing my confidence to approach God and my confidence to stand in front of people and minister to people based upon how well I was doing this one thing in my life. Does it make sense to you? No, it doesn't make sense to you. You look all confused. I was basing my relationship and my confidence with God and with the people of God upon how well I was doing a certain thing in my life. And I'd actually thought that I'm not that kind of person. I'd actually thought that I am not someone who gets trapped in that trap of basing my life with God upon my performance. And obviously words come to mind, be careful that you think you will not fall lest you, that you fall. And it was such a comforting thing to me that God was so persistently after my heart that he would get someone to get a word for me to come and speak that into my life even before I was about to minister, while I was needing to do my work, so to speak. God was so much wanting me to hear this. And it was at that time we were praying, we're talking to Theo about coming to Somerset West. And I just felt in my heart, Shofar Somerset West. And again, if you're visiting us, please bear with us as we talk a little bit family. But I know in my heart of hearts that God is wanting to break open dimensions of His love to us as a congregation. Because there's no way that the barrenness and the dryness of our communities and the people around us are going to be satisfied with what we can give them. Not our niceness, not our uitgesorteerdheid, nie ons wonderlike liedjies nie, nie ons fantastiese wie ons is as mense, die geboue wat ons gaan koop of hoe wonderlik ons programme is nie. Niks van daai goed gaan goed genoeg wees om die honger en die dorst te bevredig in die harte van mense behalwe die liefde van God. En vir solank as wat ons dink, ons het eintlik iets om te gee in ons eie krag, gaan ons klaaglik misluk. But when we make that shift and we come to that place of surrender and vulnerability and saying to God, God, the reason why people are not drinking from my life is probably because I am not drinking from you. And to accept and to embrace what He is holding before us. And so, I want to take us to that verse because God began to speak to us about Him wanting to come into our lives and wanting to stir the fountains in us because Jesus gives us the promise and He says that out of our hearts will flow rivers of water. And I just felt in my heart that for many of us, the rivers are not flowing. But He's wanting to come and He wants to stir those rivers. So I want to take you to the one, if you guys can just jump to Isaiah 66. I'm not going to read any of those other verses. Isaiah 66, it says the river of comfort and peace. God says, I want to stir the river. I want the river to flow into your heart and from your heart. I want it to flow into the lives of the people around you. And I want to hold this before us as a word, a specific river that I feel God is wanting to release over us as a congregation and as a family. Isaiah 66 is the last chapter in Isaiah. Isaiah's incredible book. It just blesses me so much. It speaks about the justice and the judgment of God, but it also speaks about God's comfort. All right, and the last chapter is an incredible one. The rest of the chapter speaks about how God will come. And He says, I'm not someone that brings to birth and then does not see to it that the baby gets born. I'm not into abortions, God says. I'm not into making a promise and not fulfilling that promise. We sang the song, His mercy endures, He's faithful. And so He speaks about that. And then He gets to verse 12 and He says, Behold is like, stop. Just stop with what you're busy with and focus it on this aspect. Pause for a minute. Come a little bit closer. Behold, take the magnifying glass. Stop focusing on the other stuff. Look at what I'm about to tell you now. Behold, look at this. I will extend peace to her like a river. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed and you shall be carried on her sides. And you will be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And I sense in my heart that what the Lord is wanting to release over us this morning, into our hearts, before we look at having that flow through our hearts to the people around us, is that He wants to release a river of peace into our hearts. And He wants to comfort us. It's fascinating that He says, I will extend peace to her like a river. So I will extend it to you. But where God is concerned that what He's giving us is not something that He gives us from a distance. He's not coming and sending us a Facebook text message. It's not Skyping from somewhere. He says, I will extend it to you. It literally means I will breathe it into you. I will cause that which I've placed inside of you to break forth and to flow into your heart. One of the names of Jesus, when Isaiah prophesied, and he said, a child will be born and he will be called a number of things. Amongst others, he will be called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. I will extend peace to her like a river. And within the context of what Jesus said, come and drink from me. In other words, outside of Christ and the lordship of Christ and the preeminence and the centrality of Christ, there cannot be peace. As long as our relationships here are based upon the fact that we agree on everything, or that we see eye to eye on everything, we will not have peace. Our peace amongst one another as a family is not based upon the fact that we agree on everything. It's not based upon the fact that we come from the same social background, speak the same language, that we are all charismatic, or we all believe all the same things. Our peace is not dependent upon that. Our peace is dependent upon the fact whether we worship the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of all, whether He's the centerpiece of everything that we do. And so when He says that He extends peace to us like a river, He simply says, I'm calling you back to have Christ as the unifying factor. Christ, I think about the 120 in the upper room. And I think about what was it that united them? They were a divided bunch, weren't they? There were men and women in there. There were guys there, that only one guy that stood with Jesus at the cross. The rest all fled. There were guys there that were having arguments about who's the most important in the kingdom. Some came to Jesus and said, Jesus, if we can, well, they actually sent their mom to ask Jesus. Mom, would you just go to Jesus and ask Him whether we can sit next to Jesus one day? They wanted to call fire and brimstone down from the sky and consume Samaria. They were a messed up bunch of guys. Ever try building a church with people as divided as that? Peter had just forsaken Jesus. They were in that upper room and the Holy Spirit fell upon them because they were united, not because of their ethnicity or because of their gender or because of their agreement as to how the kingdom should come. They were united around their love for Christ. Christ had said to them, go and wait for the promise. And my heart's desire and my plea to us is that if you are a part of the family here in Shofar Summers of the West, that you are here because Christ has told you, go there. Be there. And wait for me to come and do what only I can do. And until I do that, you worship me. Until I do that, you drink from me. You drink from me. Our future as a congregation, as a spiritual family, depends not on me. Doesn't depend on Heinrich. I've got nothing to give to you. Doesn't depend upon the band. Doesn't depend on our wonderful systems. It depends on whether we have got Christ as the unifying factor. Christ. Loving Him. Becoming more like Him. Thinking, what would He do? What would He say? Drinking from Him. I will extend peace to her like a river. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And I believe that God says that once you allow, and some of us need to come this morning, and we just need to open our heart and say, God, I don't have peace in my heart. There are certain brothers and sisters that I'm thinking of, and when I think of them, I lose my peace. I was so blessed by the healing in my heart last night after I watched the rugby. I realized I'm healed, you know? I wasn't depressed. I was maybe just stunned. I don't know. But there was nothing. There was no animosity towards the ref. There was nothing. I was healed. You know, I crossed a very important bridge in my spiritual journey. My wife was there, and hopefully she was impressed. Self-control that I had. But I was okay with us losing. I was fine. There have been moments in my life when something like that would have upset me. My wife, not supposed to say amen like she's not, but yes, she witnessed it. But God comes and And he says to us, I want to take you beyond circumstances that determine your peace. And rugby is a small thing, maar misschien is de groot ding ook. But we've got all sorts of things that determine our peace. So my vraag vir myself is altijd, is daar iets wat my vrede bepaal, anders as Jesus Christus? En as daar is, dan betekent dat ek moet weer terugkom en ek moet kom drink van hom, van sy liefde vir my. Die feit dat hy mal is oor my. Die feit dat hy vrede wil kom uitstort in my hart en deur my hart. En so vanochtend het ek nie 'n massiewe groot boodskap behalwe as hierdie een, en dit is dat ons moet terugkom en ons moet kom drink van Jesus. Dat ons as 'n gemeente, that we would come again and we would say, Lord Jesus, we don't care how long it takes us to become more like you, but we will not leave until we look and we sound like you as a family. We can extend this river of peace that he has for us. The glory of the Gentiles shall come to you like a flowing stream. When we have that peace, I believe people will want to be close to us. Because when we have that peace, when we have the Prince of Peace in our midst, we will be a safe place for others. We will be able to have people come up and testify like we heard this morning. But we would also have people be able to come up and testify and say, I'm still standing in faith for my healing. And I'm not afraid to put my faith out there and maybe fail, but I know I will not be judged in this house. I know that in this house, I will not be judged. In this house, people will not look and say, oh, her faith failed or his faith failed. Or why is he or she still struggling with that? Because we're all just united by the fact that we are messed up and we need a Savior. And he comes and he heals. He heals. He's the river. He's the life. Then you shall feed, and on her sides you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. Such a beautiful picture. God is saying, Jerusalem, he's speaking about Jerusalem here. He's speaking about his people. And you can always interpret that on three levels. You can interpret it that God is speaking about his physical people, and there are specific time frames attached to that in terms of Jerusalem. But then we can also receive it for us individuals, and then we can receive it for us as a body. And he says to us, you shall feed, and on her sides you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. In other words, God is saying, there is a comfort and there is a peace that I have predetermined to reside within this relationship. There's a peace that the human heart needs that can only be found here between a Heinrich and a Dani, that includes a Quibus, and that draws in other people as well. In other words, that within our midst, people who are desperate for peace will be able to come and they'll be able to feed. Because he doesn't say, on my sides you shall be carried. It's interesting, isn't it? He says, on her sides. Who's the her? It's Jerusalem. It's God's people. So God has given us as a ministry, as a family, the calling and the anointing to carry others, to give them food to eat, to provide them a safe place of comfort. He goes on, he says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I love that. God is saying, I'm going to reach out, I'm going to touch people, and I will comfort them. But that's not where I end. I want to comfort them within a family. Can you see the deal way? He says, I will comfort them, and you shall be comforted where? In Jerusalem. And I believe with all of my heart that God is wanting us here as this congregation to be a congregation of comfort, to be a safe place, to be a place where people like all the hundreds of dads, we were up in the kids' churches now before the service, and it's crazy out there. Eh? You got like 70 kids, different ages. It's just madness. We got to have parking bays for the prams and stuff. Like chaos, holy chaos. But there's something about a dad takes his baby girl, comforts her. But there's something for us as dads to make a peace with, and that is that there's a comfort that only a mother can give. There's something about a mother's sides. There's something about a mother's lap that God draws on here. And it says, like a mother comforts. And I felt in my spirit that God is saying to us that there are some of us who carry deep, deep wounds because we have missed out on the comfort of our moms. That there was something in our hearts that got so wounded because we missed out on a mom that could comfort us. And this morning, He's wanting to break open dimensions of His comfort to us. Not just as a dad who comes and a dad who disciplines and a dad who loves and draws us to Him, but as a mom who comes and comforts us, makes us feel safe, makes us feel secure. Some of you here are looking for comfort in a few weird places. Could be work, could be a relationship, could be food, could be sports. And God says, I want you just to shove those things aside. Allow me to do that for you. But make a peace with the fact that I've destined these people. And it might be a good idea for you to look around. But these people sitting next to you, I've destined them to be part of me comforting you. And I've called you to look around and to see those sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you and to realize that I've placed a river of peace and comfort inside of you that you need to say again, Jesus, I don't know how it's going to flow. I don't know when it's going to flow. But I avail my heart to you and say to you, if you're going to flow through someone, flow through me. If you're going to extend peace to someone who's caught in turmoil, extend it through me. If you're going to comfort someone who has been isolated and rejected their entire lives, maybe especially in church, extend that comfort through me. And we could give that commitment to the Lord this morning, not because we can't do it in our own strength, but because of who He is. So I want to read a chapter for you, and I would like you to close your eyes and I just want to read this chapter over our hearts as a people. And it comes from Isaiah 61. And I sort of had another word that I felt the Lord was going to with me, and the Lord just said over and over, and I just want to be obedient to this. It's a word I felt in Johannesburg before I came in for us, where the Lord just said, comfort, comfort my people. So I just want to be obedient. I know it's not maybe the most profound revelation, but I sense the Lord is wanting to do something in our hearts. So if you can close your eyes. It's Isaiah 62. I want to speak this truth over our lives. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, that's us, right? God's people. I want you to hear this as I'm reading this, that God includes you in this. You're a child of God. You're part of Zion. You're part of the new Jerusalem. Open your heart and receive this from Him. For Zion's sake, God says, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and the royal diadem in the hand of your God. And you shall no longer be called forsaken, nor shall your land any more be called desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, which means the Lord delights in you. And your land Beulah, which means married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons be committed to you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest until he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies. And the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Father, we receive your heart for us this morning. Father, we reject this morning every word spoken over us as a family, that we are rejected, that we are desolate, and that we are forsaken. We reject those words. We nullify them. We break their power over us. We refuse the words that have said that the glory has left us. We receive the words that have said that we are fragmented and divided. We refuse them. We condemn them this morning as words that do not reflect your heart. And we receive from you your heart. You have said that you delight over us and you delight in us. Not because of how wonderful we are and of how incredibly gifted we are or how we get everything right, but because you are God who delights in family. And you have called us as your sons and your daughters. So we come to the fountain that is Jesus this morning. We come to the well that is more than enough for our every need. And Father, I pray for those of us who are in this place and we, in the deepest recesses of our hearts, we know that you do not rule over our hearts as the Prince of Peace. We know that our thoughts are characterized by turmoil and fear and mistrust. And if we are honest, the well and the rivers have become the ice cube. But we delight this morning in your voice that does not stop reaching out to us. We delight this morning in your hand that is not too short to save us. We delight this morning in your ear that is not too far removed to hear the cry of our hearts. And I pray this morning, Lord, for the cries that have become barely a whisper. Daar die fluisterstemme in baie van ons harte, Here, wat op ons laaste is. Wat dalk alreeds in ons harte die rug gedraai het op Jerusalem. dalk in ons harte opgegee dat ons ooit 'n plek sal vind hier waar ons vertroosting gaan vind, lewe gaan vind en familie gaan vind. I thank you that right now, Father, the river of your life just draws us back to you. And as it draws us back to you, it draws us back to one another. I want to ask you that if your heart, maybe your mind specifically, is in need of the peace that surpasses understanding. In other words, the peace that is not grounded in anything that's happening around you. It's not grounded in the waves, the things that you see in the natural. If you are in need of Jehovah Shalom, God, the Prince of Peace, to extend a drink of water to you, to cause a river to flow for you, then I would like you just to raise your hand. If you are in need of His comfort, if you are in need of God to comfort you like a mother does His children, her children rather, to pick you up. My child, if you could catch a glimpse into my heart, the longing for me to comfort you, to pull you to my heart. To have you fall asleep with the rhythm of my heart in your ears. How I've longed for you to know that my eyes are upon you and that they smile at you. How I've longed to pull you close, call you out of the shadows. Call you out of the corner. Call you out of the closet where you have locked yourself in. Afraid of my voice. And so I'm standing, as I've always done, at the door of your heart. To drink. Why be famished? Why be thirsty anymore? When the river is here and the river is near. And I've sent my spirit, and even now, to come upon you like a dove. Fragile and vulnerable, because you can wish me away. You can swish me away with your hand right now. But I'm sending my spirit as a dove, vulnerable, so that I desire no other resting place but your heart. Your heart has been designed. Be my home. I want you just to be open for the Lord to touch you where you're sitting. Lord, I release comfort and I release peace to the hearts of your people. Thank you that you can flow, God, underneath doors that have been bolted shut. I thank you that you draw us in. As we come to drink from you, Jesus. As we stand in awe of you, God. And as we worship you, drinking from him, I believe, is being lost in who he is. And such a beautiful song that we're going to sing together. And I want you to don't feel you have to stand up. But I do believe that somewhere you have to just respond to him. Do you want to go and sit against the wall on the side or kneel at the front? But that you would worship him with us. Simple song. It's all about just Jesus and his greatness. And you would worship him. Thank you, Father, that you hear our voice together as a family this morning, God. Thank you that the one voice here this morning, Lord, is lost. Some of us were afraid that we will get lost. We will not be noticed. We will not be missed. You carry deep wounds. You've been looking to people for explanations. The Lord says to you, the explanations will not come. You don't need an explanation. You need a soft heart. And only I can give that to you. Worship you, God.
You lay aside your throne. To this world, you have come. You offered up your life. The debt you paid was not yours. Your grace abounds to me. Your grace abounds.
Oh,
Those of you wondering, I still didn't get the thing fixed. The Lord has given me the grace to continue. And there are some of us that you have pushed the pause button on your intimacy with God because of a failure, something that you're holding on to. You need to come and you need to forgive yourself. You need to ask God the grace to forgive yourself. And then there are some of us also this morning, I really believe there's an anointing here. And I just want Anne-Marie just to come and share what she felt.
I was in the mother's room and I knew I had to come and just share because 2 weeks ago in intercession, the Lord gave this word to us. So this is not Heinrich just speaking here this morning. This is the Lord God saying to us, the church, that He wants to comfort us. And the Lord showed me that for many people, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying this morning, you've been seriously wounded in your relationships with your parents. There's huge mother and father wounds, and you sometimes don't even realize it, but you're looking to your husband or to your wife. You're looking to your friends. You're looking to the people around you to fill that gap. And I felt the Lord saying that, yes, we are going to comfort one another, but we as people cannot fill the gap that is God's gap. And I really believe, I know I've been here before where you think as a Christian, you know, okay, well, I'm going to ask the Lord to do it. But there's an anointing today. The Comforter is here. The one who comes to heal, He is here. I know He is here this morning. And I just want to say that the thing impeding you experiencing that comfort is repentance, because we're looking in the wrong places. And so I just want to pray now on behalf of us all, and I ask you to open your hearts, and then some of you are going to have to come forward. It's horrible sometimes to do that because of the fear of man, but it's a step of faith to just come and say to the Lord, I'm opening my heart to you. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, because we recognize, Lord, that in our heart of hearts, Lord, we're looking for comfort, Lord, and in our husbands, Lord, in our wives, Father, in our children, Lord God, at work, Lord, from our bosses, Lord God. We look to soothe ourselves, Lord, through performance and through achievement, Lord. And Father, we've been raised often, Lord God, that to think that is the way, Lord, that we feel okay, Lord. That is how our identity is formed, Lord. But we confess this morning, Lord, that is not of you, Lord God, that you are the Comforter, Lord, that you are the source of life, Lord. And we repent this morning for looking in other directions, Lord, apart from you, Lord. And we ask that you would reveal yourself now as the mother, the one who comforts, who takes us to your chest, Lord, who nurses us when we need nursing, Lord, who recognizes where the wounds are. Father, we open our hearts to you, Lord God, and we confess that we need you. And we ask, Lord, that you'd draw us into that place of intimacy, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, God, and we just declare, Lord, that you are all that we need. You are all that we need, God. There's no one else. Lord, we look to you, Lord. You are all that we need, Lord. You are sufficient for all of our needs, God. We thank you, Lord, for your glorious invitation. Thank you for your outstretched arms. Thank you, Lord, that so many of us, even as we will respond, will just experience how you, Lord, like the father of the prodigal son, just runs towards us this morning. You come and you overwhelm us, Lord, even when we are a long way off. You come and you grab us, God, and we thank you, Lord, for that, God. We honor you and we worship you. Just feel that you, if you need to respond, that you would do that. That you would just come and just receive the comfort from him like only he can. Just say to God, God, here I am. Just simple prayer, here I am, God. Here I am, just here to be loved by you. I know some of us have kids and we need to get them, but I really, 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 really want to pray. I want to appeal to you. I'm going to ask you, just linger in the moment if you can at all. If you do need to go, that you would slip out very, very quietly. There's such a beautiful anointing what the Lord is wanting to do. And if you need the Lord, He would come. But we continue to just lay our hearts before God. You would come and allow Him to touch you. To surrender to Him. He's so beautiful, people. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He takes the pressure off us. The pressure to be perfect. The pressure to pretend. He takes all of that off us. There's an older gentleman here, and you never laughed with your sons. The Lord says He's restoring your laughter. You're going to laugh a lot with your grandkids. The Lord is going to use you to stir the fountains of joy in your family. It's because your dad never laughed with you, and you've often blamed him. And this morning, God just wants to come and set you free from that and to bless you with great, great joy. He says, Jy is 'n snaakse oupa. Ek voel die Here vir jou wil sê. Jy is 'n snaakse oupa. Die Here het jou geroep as 'n snaakse pret oupa. Jou kleinkinders sal by jou wil wees. En hulle geniet jou eintlik al reeds. En jy het hierdie gevoel dat, ag, hulle verdra my eintlik maar net. Die Here wil hê jy moet weet. Hulle wil by jou wees. En so baie as wat hulle by jou wil wees, wil hy nog baie, baie meer. Dat jy gee vir hom soveel vreugde. So oud soos wat jy is. Jy maak God eintlik so opgewonde. Some of you need to come and receive your delight from him. There's a sweet, I think, of a chocolate called delight or something. Turkish delight. Some of you need to come and just receive. I believe the Lord is wanting to give you a sweet. He's wanting to give you the sense. Man, that you delight God. Jy maak God nogal gelukkig, weet jy. Jy maak nogal sy dag. Maar jy moet kom, die wete kom haal by hom vanoggend. Dit is wie jy is. Dankie, Here. For those of you that do need to slip out, we're officially dismissing the service. But don't switch off your heart if you can still remain. Continue to just stand in the presence of the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit just to come over you like waves. I sense there's one more wave coming. There's one more. The Lord is wanting to do in your heart. If you really need to go, He bless you. No condemnation if you do need to go. But if you can linger, do that.